Lord's Day service. We're so happy that you braved the snow to be here this morning. After church, we have a lovely fellowship hour planned, so we hope that you stay and enjoy some interactions with people here. And all are invited. That's in the room next to this one. We also need fellowship hour hosts, so if you can host a fellowship hour, please sign up in the vestibule after church. Our midweek Lenten service will be at 1:30 p.m. this Wednesday at the Scandia Village Meadows Gathering Room. It's been a wonderful time of fellowship there, and we hope that you can attend. Perpetual calendars are still on sale for Gibraltar School, so if you would like to purchase one and help the kids out, we ask that you do that after church in the vestibule. Easter flowers, if you notice in your bulletin, there is an insert for Easter flowers, and they're due on March 26th. The orders are due, and so we ask that you take a look at that. And on the other side of that announcement, the Moravian Church has a tradition of Holy Week readings, and these are readings for the entire week. And we used to do services at night, but they were so poorly attended that we stopped. But this is a wonderful tradition. So what we're going to do this year is to entice you with lunch. So every day, Monday through Friday, April 3rd through 7th, there will be a simple lunch, soup and bread. And with these readings, I will give some context to them so that they're better understood, and then we can read them together. So, and this is designed for all ages, so if you would like to come out, we do ask that you sign up so we know how many to prepare for. Let us turn our hearts to worship the Lord.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Our watchword for the week is Psalm 95, verse 6. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Please stand and as we sing hymn number 773, And Can It Be That I Should Gain? Pray together the liturgy for Lent found in the insertion in your bulletin. We come to worship as we are Lord, full of those feelings which would keep us from loving ourselves and others.
Receive us as we come.
and may our hearts be turned away from those feelings.
Just as I am, O Lord, our misunderstandings often lead us to make snap judgments of others.
Our fear and uncertainty make us build walls to keep others from getting near us.
O Lord, help us to understand the kind of love that can break every barrier down, each wall that would separate your people.
Help us to be givers and receivers of that kind of love.
Even though we are persons with walls built against our neighbors, may we meet them as friends, as we all come before your grace and mercy.
Join us, O living Christ, by becoming the cornerstone of our lives.
Just as you overturned the tables of old, O Lord, overturn the barriers that we place between ourselves as your people.
Make the stranger like a friend, the widow and widower like a mother and father, the convict like a child, and the hero like a neighbor.
We struggle with our differences. Our world is wounded, O Lord, and we need your passion to be a sign for us.
The wounded world is in need of your balm. Help us to be healed. May our barriers be overturned as we minister in your home. Joyful noise offering, which comes next. Our joyful noise offering will be taken up for Door Cancer. This is a local charity, and we give this to our charities. We have two local charities that we give to in our joyful noise offerings. And Door Cancer takes care of people who are undergoing cancer treatments in Door County. They help with things like the heating bills, and utilities, and rent, and this way they have time and energy to focus on healing. And Door Cancer over the years has given out millions?
No, we've surpassed a million in the last 25 years.
We've surpassed $1 million that have been given to families in our areas, and we know of some of those families. It's a wonderful charity, and our children will lead us off in our joyful noise offering, and then you can follow, and if you would prefer to be seated, an usher will come around and help you with your offering.
The first scripture lesson is taken from the book of Exodus. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it, so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord amongst us or not?" Our second lesson is taken from the Gospel according to John. Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, tired out by his journey. Jesus was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may be thirsty, may never be thirsty, or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on his mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and it is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or, "What are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever had a period in your life when there was one drama after the other, and you finally figured out one aspect and laid one thing to rest and something else turned up, and you got so sick of the drama? I've been there, done that. I remember as a young person, I had a job that was 2 hours away from home. It required taking the bus, a ferry, and a subway, and then walking. And it wasn't even a good job. It was just a job. There was drama at work. There was drama at home. I'd come back home every night exhausted, and I would have one mental health day during that week. And on my mental health day, I didn't have much money, but I would go with my family to an Italian restaurant with oilcloth, tablecloth, and I would have a glass of wine and a cream puff. And that's how I dealt with all the drama in my life. That went on for months. It's awful when you're dealing with drama day in and day out. And I think of that lady in our scripture today who had to deal with drama day in and day out. That was her life. And it had been her life for many, many years. And we moderns, when we look at that scripture, any commentary that I read about this poor woman said she had loose morals because she was she had had five husbands. And so she had been either divorced or she could have been widowed five times. But you have to think about those days. A woman did not have the right to divorce. She would have had no control over that part of her life. The only people who could divorce were men. And a man could stand up in an assembly and say to the woman, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you, that's it. And then she would have had no financial recourse. So let's say that five times she was divorced, five times kicked to the curb, and the sixth guy wouldn't even marry her. Or maybe she was widowed five times, and the sixth guy said, I'm not taking any chances. You're bad luck. And of course, being in a relationship was not just about being in a relationship, it was about money. And if she wanted to live and survive, she had to be with somebody or with a kind-hearted family, and that doesn't seem to have happened. So this lady not only had drama in her life, but she knew how to survive. She was a tough survivor. She not only had the drama of her existence, of being with these men who kept kicking her to the curb, but she also had the drama of what the rest of society thought of her. And that's why she was alone that day at noon. No one else would draw water at noon. It was too hot. The whole group of women who would draw water would have come in the cool of the morning. And I imagine they made her feel so unwelcome that she was ready to face the noontide heat rather than face the women of that village. She not only carried that, but she carried centuries of hatred. The centuries of hatred were between the Samaritans and the Jews. In fact, the Samaritans and Jews were cousins. They shared the same ancestry. They shared the same racial identity. They shared the same God. They shared the same ancestors. When Jesus met up with her, she was at Jacob's well in Samaria. And yet they loathed each other. There was a dispute about where God should be worshipped. And isn't that ironic that some of the most violent disputes have to do with religion? And so there was a dispute as to where God should be worshipped, and the Samaritans said it was on Mount Gerizim. And so about 100 or 200 years earlier, the Jewish leaders at the time destroyed the temple on the Mount of Gerizim. And the Samaritans followed suit. And so by the time of Jesus, no self-respecting Jew went to Samaria. Even if they had to travel through, if that was the quickest way, they'd find a way around. because they didn't want to be bothered with the Samaritans, and the Samaritans had the same view of the Jews. That's why when Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan, it was delightfully ironic. But Jesus went to Samaria, and he met this woman with all this baggage and all this drama, and he asked her for a drink of water. And you can see that she is no shrinking violet. She's one tough lady. That's why I like her. Because basically she said, are you talking to me? You know, don't you know any better? That Jews have nothing to do with Samaritans? Why are you talking to me? And he engages her in conversation. And I love when he gets to the part where he says, why don't you bring your husband? And she says, I don't have a husband. And then he tells her, yes, I know that. And what he says to her next is without judgment. He just states the facts of her life. And then she says, oh, I perceive you're a prophet. And then she tries to get in an argument about where to worship God. The centuries-old argument. And he is not going to bite. And he says that we worship God not in place, but in spirit. And when she goes to her townspeople to tell them that there's a guy who told her everything that she had ever done, and they come back to talk to him, what is so amazing about this story is that the woman that had so much drama in her life, the woman who had been ostracized by the townspeople, she bore such wonderful news that they couldn't help themselves but run and see what she was experiencing. And when they came to see him, they pressed this Jew, this enemy, this man who also had four centuries of hatred in his race, and they said, could you stay with us? And for 2 days, he lived with those people. He ate with them. He spoke to them. It doesn't even say that he performed any miracles. He just talked to them for 2 days. And these townspeople said, we've just experienced the Savior of the world. And centuries of hatred were blown away by Jesus. And you see, this is what Jesus does. For those of us who have been living with drama and say, you know, I can't stand to have another thing go wrong in my life. And Jesus offers the water of life. And he gives us the opportunity to come to him with all our heartache and with all the drama, and to experience again the water of life gushing in us. Or maybe we're like those townspeople who don't even know that we're missing something and who might have deep-seated hatred and prejudices, and he says, come, and I'll relieve you of those things. Jesus comes to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. It's a joy to know Jesus, even when we're living with drama. Let us pray. Lord, we're so grateful that within us you instill that water of life. We're so grateful that even in drama, you grant to us your peace. We're so grateful that even with deeply held beliefs, you can break through those and give to us your joy. We're so grateful for that unnamed woman so long ago that experienced grace and peace and joy without judgment. Help us this week to live into your grace. In Jesus' name, Amen. Let us continue to worship our Lord with the giving of our tithes and our offerings. Praise reports and our prayer requests. We're so grateful. We've been praying for Joni for many weeks, and we just heard that she is slated to go home this week. So this has been a wonderful news that we have from her, and we're so grateful to the Lord. We want to continue to remember Elfie's daughter, Jean. Jean woke up after 12 days in a coma, and she has a very long recovery ahead of her. So let us remember Jean in our prayers. Linda's sister, Carrie, had two surgeries this past week, but is home, so we're grateful for that. I visited with Lois, and she still has COVID, but she's not experiencing any symptoms, so we're thankful for that. We're thankful for my sister is doing so much better this week, and I'm so grateful for your prayers as I went to see her last week. We want to continue to remember Anne, Dave, Elise, Kim, Kathy, Maggie, Joel, and Barbara. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we are so grateful. Grateful for your love beyond measure. Grateful that within the drama of our lives, you are with us. Grateful for the good news that we have heard. And we ask, O Lord, that you would lift those that we have named into your loving hands, that you would grant to them your grace, your strength, your healing mercy. We ask that your power would be upon them and upon us, and that you would help us to extend hands of healing to those whom we meet this week. For we ask it all in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Go before you to lead you. God, go behind you to protect you. God, go beneath you to support you. God, go beside you to befriend you. Do not be afraid. May the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you. Do not be afraid. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen. Thank you.